Look together in Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke chapter 9 is going to mark the basis of our study. Beginning with verse 23, I'll read down through and including verse 27. Luke 9. 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed, when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. I want you to understand from the outset that these words of Jesus are not words that he's simply uttering to the apostles. But these words recorded here, which I have just read, these are words that are being spoken to one and all who would come and follow Jesus. In Mark's account of this same statement, in Mark chapter 8 and in verse 34, Mark tells us that on this occasion that there was a great crowd present and that Jesus said to all the crowd. In verse 23, this account says he said to all. So understand from the outset, these words were not words of Jesus spoken just to the apostles. These are words of Jesus that are being addressed to anyone and to everyone who's going to come and follow after him. Understand further in this passage that Jesus is setting down the conditions for those who will follow him. These are the conditions for anybody who's going to follow Jesus and become his disciple. Now, before we get into these specific conditions that Jesus lays down, there are two very important words near the beginning of verse 23. And I want us to take note of these two words before we get to the conditions that it takes to follow Jesus. The two words in verse 23 are the words, come after. Come after. To all, to any who would come after. I want you to look at those two words, because those two words are telling us a couple of things that are very important. The first thing that those two words tell us is that there is an action that is required on my part if I'm going to follow Jesus. Come after. There is an action that is going to be required on your part if you are going to follow Jesus. Those two words are important because those two words tell us that Christianity is not a life in which you and I bear no responsibility for. Christianity, the following of Christ, is a life that we are responsible to take action for. But another thing I want you to see in these two words come after is that in this verse, those two words are presenting themselves in a present tense form. What does that mean? That means that this is a continual coming after. This means that we must constantly keep coming after. Brethren, coming to Jesus is not a one-time act where when we do it and when we are baptized, we've done what is required of us. Wrong, wrong, wrong. So here's what those two words tell us. There is action required of us, and there is a continuous desire that must constantly be in our hearts if we follow Jesus. Jesus now, at this point, sets down the condition of anybody who's going to follow. Notice what he says, first of all, in verse 23, he says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Deny yourself. Now, don't you hear this carefully? We don't know what that means. We don't. And here's why this is dangerous, because we think we do. So we take in our minds what we think deny yourself means, and we apply it, but what we're thinking it is, it isn't. When Jesus said, deny yourself, Jesus is not talking about us just denying ourselves things. Jesus is talking about us denying the personal control of our lives. Told you you didn't know what it meant. When Jesus said, you must deny yourself, what Jesus says is you have got to deny personal control over your own life. Deny yourself means that we are taking ourselves individually, we are taking ourselves and we are putting ourselves totally at the disposal of Jesus. That's what that means. Denying yourself means saying no to yourself. Paul said, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Now, this expression, deny yourself, can be better understood with a couple of other expressions. Here's one of them. Deny yourself means, first, selfishness is gone. listen to me. What I want is out the window. Did you hear what I said? What I think is out the window. It's gone. I hear people say, God is my co-pilot. Here's my question. If God is your co-pilot, who's your pilot? And if God is your co-pilot and you are your pilot, you haven't denied yourself yet. And if God is your co-pilot and you are your pilot, you're sitting in the wrong seat. Because I have news for you. If you deny yourself, you're not the pilot nor the co-pilot. God's sitting in both of them. Deny yourself. Are you listening? When it comes to what I want and what Jesus wants, if I've not denied myself, I'm gonna do what I want. Did you hear me? When it comes to what I want and when it comes to what Jesus wants, if I haven't denied myself, I am going to do what I want. And when I do what I want over what he wants, I haven't denied myself, and that means I'm not fit to follow him. Now, if I get up on Sunday morning, I don't want to come to church. I don't want to come. But I know that Jesus wants me to come. But if I haven't denied myself, I'm not coming. If I don't want to come to Wednesday night Bible class, but I know Jesus wants me to come to Bible class, if I haven't denied myself, don't look for me. I won't be here. You know why I won't be here? I haven't denied myself. Deny yourself. We think that means giving up certain things. That's involved in it, but that's not a 30-second cousin to it. Denying yourself means you have placed yourself totally at the disposal of Jesus. Selfishness is gone. What I want is gone. Deny yourself means selfishness is gone. Here's the second thing that's involved in denying yourself. Now listen to me. Self is the biggest problem most of us have. Amen. You're not a problem to me, but I am to me. Listen, self is our biggest problem. You know why? Because self is more interested in being happy than it is being holy. Amen? Oh, you know it is. Self talks me out of doing what's difficult. Amen? Oh, you know it is. You know it is. Deny yourself. Look, here's what that means. It means selfishness is gone. Listen, self is the biggest problem we have. And you know why? Because self says, if I don't get what I want at Highland, I'll go to church somewhere else and get what I want. You know what you've said in them sentences? I. Because that's what we think. Or I'm going to get what I want, or I'm going somewhere else. Well, you haven't denied yourself then. Y'all looking at me strange, but still what it says. Deny yourself. And we don't know what that means. Well, I'm going to deny myself over here, but not over here. No, no, no. You're not doing any of this. Jesus is now denying yourself. Say no to yourself. Well, I think doesn't matter what you think. What matters now is what Jesus thinks. Deny yourself. Number two, look at the verse again. Verse 23. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Are you listening? We don't know what that means either. I've heard all kind of foolishness attributed to that. In the ancient, listen, taking up your cross in this context doesn't mean sacrifice. It means making the supreme sacrifice. Jesus Christ was our sacrifice at the cross. Listen to me. When God gave us that sacrifice, are you listening? God didn't give us heaven's leftovers. Jesus was the crown jewel, the royal gem, the best thing he had. And that's what you're going to get. It's the supreme, it is the supreme sacrifice. The supreme sacrifice. Guy's name was Nick Moore. Nick Moore. Nick was carrying a cross across the state of Texas. He was doing it to show the suffering and the agony that Jesus went through. So I saw a picture of it. And I'm thinking, that picture looks funny. So I pop that picture, made it bigger. You know how you do? I don't know what that's called. Other than popping the picture and making it bigger. That's what I call it. So that's what it is now, bless God. And I noticed two things. Nick's cross had wheels. Look, Nick wasn't carrying nothing. Nick wasn't bearing nothing. This bad boy had wheels on it. It was just an oversized, like, baby stroller. He just pushing it. So I keep looking at this picture, and there's something hanging all over the cross. I'm thinking, well, what is that? What is that on the cross? So he had thermal bottles of ice water on it. So my boy Nick is my boy. My boy Nick was pushing this thing, and when he get thirsty, he just stopped, take some ice water down off these thermos he had on the cross and drink it. Listen to me. That's not the cross Jesus is talking about. That's not the cross he had in mind. Now wait a minute. Wait. I got to thinking then that many of my brethren are as confused as Nick about what it means to take your cross up. Amen. We're as confused as he is. I hear people say, well, I got this lingering terminal illness, and that's my cross. No, it's not. Cancer isn't your cross. Cancer's your illness. You got cancer because we live in a world that's cursed with sin. That's not your cross. That's your sickness. Go see the doctor. I hear people say, well, you know, my husband is a drunk, and that's my cross. No, it isn't. No, it ain't. brokenness. That's not your cross. That's not your cross. I've heard people literally stand in my face and say, well, you know, I'm just real short-tempered and that's my cross. No, it ain't. Your short temper, that's not a cross you bear. That's a sin you repent of. No, your cross is not sin. Your cross is not some illness. Listen, your cross is what you sacrifice and offer as a sacrifice to God. You want to talk about the crosses of these men who followed Jesus? Luke 5:11, they forsook all and followed him. Listen, we leaving home, we leaving our jobs, we're leaving everything, and we're following him. Oh, we quiet now. Luke 14:33, Jesus says, whosoever does not renounce everything he has cannot be my disciple. Now you're taking up your cross. Now you're taking up your cross. Everybody's going to follow Jesus. You got to tell yourself no. You got to move yourself off the throne and let him get on it. You're not making the decisions no more. He is. You're not doing what you want to do anymore. You're doing what he wants to do. That's denying yourself. Denying yourself isn't, well, I'm going to give up a little here and a little. No, no. Denying yourself, you giving up all of it. You giving up you. If you're going to follow Jesus, you got to take up your cross. You got to take up your cross. That's your sacrifice. In the ancient world, listen to me, ancient world, everybody understood the cross. You're going to die. You're going to die. People today buy shiny cross. They go out there and buy a solid gold cross hanging around their neck. Listen, I'm not against that. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that in the ancient world, that would have been weird. It would be like if you went out today and bought a little bitty solid gold electric chair and put it around your neck. It would. It's a symbol, and maybe you know somebody who did that, but it's a symbol of death. Deny yourself. You saying no to yourself. What are you? I'm not in charge anymore. Jesus is in charge. You're going to take up your cross. This is the ultimate sacrifice is me to him. Look at the verse 23. The third condition, he said, and follow me. Follow me. That means constant pursuit of Jesus. You got to constantly pursue. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, Jesus has left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Now, let me tell you something about following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you will end up in some places you never dreamed you'd be able to end up in. That's just true. If you follow Jesus, you will end up participating in some things that you never thought you'd ever be able to participate in. That's truth. You'll do things you never dreamed you could do if you follow Jesus. Listen, we need to follow Jesus in service. Acts 10 and verse 38, the life of Jesus is described in these words. He went about doing good. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus said of himself, I have not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Jesus, why are you here? I'm here to do two things. I'm here to serve and I'm here to give. We need to follow Jesus in service. We need to follow Jesus in worship. In his conversation in John 4 with the Samaritan woman, Jesus told her, listen, God is seeking true worshipers. Do you ever think about what that statement implies? God is seeking true worshipers. What that implies is that everybody who worship isn't a true worshiper. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? That means the object of the worship is God, and the way God wants to be worshiped truly is that we worship him with the right attitude and according to the truth. Listen, we need to follow Jesus in worship. We need to follow Jesus in doing what the Bible says. Jesus described himself by saying in John 6 and in verse 38, I have not come down from heaven to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. The conditions for following Jesus: deny yourself, remove yourself from this, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Look at verse 24 and verse 25, Luke 9. Look at the next two verses, verse 24 and 25. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Verse 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall save it. Now let me tell you something else we get mixed up. When we look at life, we think that life is from birth to death. That's life. Life is from birth to death. That's how you and I see life. But listen to me, that's not how God sees it. God doesn't see life from birth to death. God sees life from creation to eternity. Now, look at verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. There are one of two ways that you live, and you get to choose your way. You can live your life what he calls saving it. And what that means is that your concern is going to be what you want. Your interest will be what you want. Your concern is your direction. Your concern will be your goal. Your concern will be your plan. You're going to live giving no thought to denying yourself, but that ends with you losing. And I don't mean losing just from life to death. I mean losing eternally, because that's how God's looking at it. Or Jesus says you can live your life by losing it. And what he meant by that is you lose yourself. You're not going to live by your interest. You're not going to live by your goal or direction. You're going to live by my plan, my goal, and my direction. And he says, if you will do that, he says, then you will save your life. Not birth to death, you will save your life, that is your soul, eternally. So you choose. You can have your way now, and when now is over, you're never going to have your way. Or you can get away, you can get down, let God, let the Lord take control, live his way, and then you can live forever with him. close, verse 26. For what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Look at what that verse says. If a man could gain the whole world and lose his soul. Let me tell you something. It is impossible for one individual to gain the whole world. That's impossible. The verse here is a hyperbole. That's an extreme exaggeration. But you're not, the point of it is you're not exaggerating what you're saying to deceive somebody. You're exaggerating what you're saying to more forcefully make a point. It is impossible for a single human being to gain the whole world. But what Jesus is saying is that even if that was possible and one person had it all, if he lost his soul, he loses. He loses. So to one and all who would follow Jesus, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Choose how you're going to live. You can have your way now and lose forever. You can allow him to have his way now in you, and you can live forever. And before you choose, remember, even if you had it all and lost your soul, you lose in the end. But you can win in the end. Let us stand together.